Discussions with Ajahn Shukchin in Bangsai, August 2017. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, Eve, Nina, Azita, Metta, Sundra and John.
Any topics you would like to discuss?
Anyone?
We have one topic which is Asubha. Nina was listening to a Thai recording which was all about Asubha's object of Samatha and Satipatthana, foulness of the body. And she mentioned that you were talking about all the different elements whilst going to the toilet and so on. Would you like to add a little more, Nina?
It's daily life. We just talk about daily life.
Yeah, I found it so helpful. The four Sataka Sampajanya, Sapaya Sampajanya, Gochara Sampajanya, Asamoha Sampajanya, and you explained if it doesn't leave the body, you get sick, and so important for the health of the body. Sataka Sampajanya.
Buddha just talk about everything in daily life because it's unknown for years and years ago as realities only. That's why no matter he talk about whatever, it must be daily life, just to understand. Because it should be understanding now of whatever appears. But it's impossible if he didn't teach for everything in details as different realities by different ways.
And if he was talking about Sataka Sampajanya, the understanding of what is usefulness, then it
to
is
live.
To live. So it's talking about from very basic level what is useful to live right up to what is useful for development of understanding.
Until so, there is understanding.
So all levels and kinds of what is useful in daily life, from talking about the food or the procedure or anything right up to what is useful for development of understanding. And the same with Sapaya Sampajanya, talking about what is suitable or support, also from taking the right medicine or the right food right up to the understanding of reality, anything. And talking about Gotra, the objects of Satipatthana, for example, the elements whilst in the bathroom or here or any time. Is this just referring to those elements that can be the object of understanding now or any reality?
Appears.
That which appears.
Yeah.
Because, for example, Nina mentioned about cohesion, but actually cohesion or water element doesn't appear, but it's still a reality and to whom or what. So just because it doesn't appear now.
It's there.
It's there.
To know that it's there, but it doesn't appear. Otherwise, who knows that it's there? So everything is just to understand as not self, as they are, right now, as they are. But it needs the Buddha's words so much before it can be opened up as nothing, only realities.
You just mentioned the water element. It's not known, but it's only because of Buddha that we know that there is a water element.
It doesn't appear.
It doesn't appear. No.
It can appear whenever we don't know, whatever we don't know. No selection at all.
Right.
To know this or that. But now it doesn't appear.
We know the other elements, the other rupas arising now have to be conditioned by it. Without that element, they could not be bound together, they could not arise, and it conditions the other elements arising with it. So one has to know that it's there because it's conditioning the visible object or the sound or whatever does appear at each moment.
The four elements arise with every rupa, the group of kalapas. The four elements are contained in every rupa?
Eight, yes, but
kalapa consists of eight rupas, so each element is a rupa.
Yes, there's four elements and then other.
So there are four primary rupas and four other rupas that arise together in each group.
Yes.
And sometimes further rupas.
Yes. And, for example, water is there. It doesn't appear, but we know it's there. Can we also say that with visible object? For example, one thing at a time arises, citta cognizes. So eye base sees visible object, then maybe cognizes. Yes, please.
Citta.
Citta cognizes visible object. Thank you.
Eye base is the rupa.
Yes.
Yes, is the rupa, visible object rupa. Citta cognizes, nama cognizes visible object. And it's done one at a time. So that arises and passes away, falls away. And then there's, for example, then hearing. Citta, through ear base, cognizes sound. And that arises and passes away. So even if I'm not seeing something at that moment, I'm hearing something, I know what is seen is over there. No.
Lost. Just one moment at a time. Yes. In serious processions.
So what has arisen exists for that nanosecond or fraction, and then
never.
It's long gone, never to be, again. It no longer exists. It does not
in
exist.
In samsara, wherever. No one
Sanya
can find
marks
it.
I think it exists, but it doesn't. It's gone. Thank you.
And also one other point which came up the other day when Sundra and we were talking about ayatanas. We were talking about ayatanas as realities. And he mentioned a term, raga ayatana, referring to the body as the ayatana or the dwelling place of disease. So in Sudhimagga it talks about ayatana as a dwelling place of disease. The body, of course, refers to just various elements called the body. In this context of ayatana, is it just referring to those rupas?
So what is ayatana? We have to come back to
yes,
understand
reality, theory. Different realities that meet together.
Yeah. What did you say? What was that word?
Association.
Association.
It's the meeting of different realities. So when it's talking about the body as the ayatana of disease, it's talking about the coming together of different elements.
What is meant by disease? Because disease is also...
So realities, yes. Yeah. More rupas, more realities.
No, so just the contact or whatever is there at that very moment. We call it disease.
Yes.
But actually, what moment is there?
Well, there can be the rupas, which are...
So it's the body consciousness, which experiences...
Various rupas,
that's
yes.
All.
That's all. So it's just the association of the experiencing of various rupas, that's all. Because if there was no experiencing of those rupas, there would be no idea
and
about
disease.
And then
thinking about disease.
Thinking about
yeah.
disease or this problem, yeah.
Anything else?
All comes down to... Reality.
Nina also heard an expression
on the tape which was good. She was talking about even when one sheds tears or is very upset about something, let it not be in vain, because there can be understanding any time, or even if one's distressed or angry or swept away by attachment.
Understanding is the best moment.
The best moment, so it's not in vain if there's understanding.
Rather than be happy and no understanding at all.
very good. On this same recording,
you were talking in a lot of detail about, Anina mentioned about the colour of the heart and these details. What is the purpose of talking about the colour of
different
the heart?
Different moment.
Just different yeah. realities, that's all. Mm-hmm.
And understanding that...
Whilst reflecting on all these different elements, there can be calm or there can be understanding any time, anywhere.
All about realities. Talking about shed of heart base or whatever, disease or whatever. And only in a moment.
Yes.
and never to return again. It takes eons and eons to appreciate fully understanding of it's now at this very moment.
And you added all the time, don't try to be aware of it. Don't select, you
that
said all
the
time.
Path.
That is very good that you said
wrong
that.
Path because yeah. The self is there.
Yeah.
And the way is to eliminate this idea of self, so the self cannot do that.
Yes. But it's good for Pariyatti to consider.
To understand
yeah.
The path.
Yeah, yeah.
So Panya can know what moment is wrong and what moment is right.
Yes. We don't think of Sati or Satipatthana yet. It's the Pariyatti.
Only understanding.
Yeah. Because Pariyatti has to be very strong so that there is more confidence, more firm, so that it can condition
more
later on.
Letting go.
Yeah.
All the way.
But you said it is for samatha and for vipassana, the parts of the body.
Because without the teachings of the Buddha, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows about realities right now? So it's a great moment in one's life to understand the virtues of the Buddha, his great virtues.
They would just be living in darkness, as it were, the world of concepts
mm-hmm.
only,
yeah.
No realities, not even a glimmer of understanding about that.
Like now, Nina, there can be reflection on how the body that usually we're so attached to is just full of pus and gore and blood and actually is very foul and it can condition calmness even now. And also there can be understanding right now that it is just hardness that experienced or it is just sound heard at that moment of reflection. So whilst reflecting on parts of the body, it can be there can be conditions for calmness, for samatha, or conditions for satipatthana right now. Just reflecting about the realities.
I checked more about the verse about the death king, which the friend brought up the other day from Dhammapada, because the translation used the other day was not so good. Having known this froth-like body and awakening to its mirage nature, smashing Mara's flowered shafts unseen beyond the death king go. That's not very good either. One who knows that the body is impermanent like froth and comprehends that it's insubstantial like a mirage will cut the flowers of Mara, i.e. the three kinds of vata or rounds, and pass out of sight of the king of death. In other words, will attain arahatship. And the flowers of Mara, the three vata, are the kalesa vata, the karma vata, and the vipaka vata. So this is what is referred to as cutting the flowers of Mara. And we'll pass out of sight of the king of death, Machu Rajasa Gache, Dasanam Machu Rajasa Gache, seeing the pass beyond the king of death, out of sight of the king of death.
And is there king of death? Is there king of death?
Sounds rather
degree. Only the understanding, the soul.
Death rules. It's always in the cycle of birth and death until passing beyond death, until arahatship is what is meant.
The origin of suffering, birth, aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, etc., is suffering. In short, the five khandhas affected by clinging. Why would we not include in that things like happy?
It's included.
Where?
Five.
Well, that's okay, yeah. Five khandhas. So,
in summary, the five khandhas.
In short, the five khandhas. Can you explain it a bit more?
It will be long if you add something more. So in short, it's...
In short, the five khandhas affected by clinging.
What you read before, the birth, old age, sickness, death, that means life in samsara?
It does.
Yeah, which is the five khandhas. In terms of ultimate realities, it means the five khandhas, because that's what life in samsara is for us.
And I think Tada brought it up the other day about the five khandhas, that each one of the groups is a khanda.
I hadn't thought about that.
I was a bit like Tada the other day.
Just read without understanding.
I think
and take the word
yeah.
like group must be group. But actually it just is one.
Yes. Yeah. So khandhas...
Sanya khanda, which one? See? Group of sanya, or each sanya.
It has to be each one.
Each.
Yeah. And so when we talk of khandhas, ayatanas, dhatus, especially khandhas, dhatus, it's only still grouping the realities.
No, just in short.
In short,
yes.
Instead of naming them,
yeah.
Okay, but they are all just the same. Just
instead
a different
of saying
way
the
of
20 rupas by name, only rupa khanda, each one. One clings to one's own idea while one reads Tipitaka. But actually it should be the understanding of the truth. If nothing arises at all, can there be any khanda? Just one arise, is it not khanda? Mm-hmm. The arising and falling away.
The other one's talking about ayatanas, dhatus, khandas, body, it's about realities. The other day we were talking about the Patisampadas and talking about the Patisampadas now when there is understanding, and we mentioned about Atta Patisampada as being result, and Metta was saying that when she looked in the Patisampada Marga, it refers to five kinds of Atta. Would you like to?
There are five kind of Atta Patisampada. One is Nibbana, the second one is Vipaka Citta and Turiya Citta, and the commentary, the Buddha's teaching, and the last one is Atta itself. It said the why should known as Atta.
So it's the meaning, the understanding of the meaning.
So that's like, and the Ashita mentioned before, the cha, the patisanti citta, and chara morana. So a link to the patisampita mean birth consciousness, and chara morana is atta. And the result is lopa, is the cause.
Whatever as the result?
Whatever happened now, is the result is always...
The result is atta, whatever.
Yeah, also atta, yeah. And also, I read from the commentary, Kutaka Nikaya Satpatisampita Mark. It said, chara morana chati. They are the result, and the lopa is the cause. And furthermore, also bhava, upadana, tanha, vedana, passa, ayatana, sayatana, Namarupa and Vinyana, they are all atta.
Of what? Of what? Of birth.
Of birth.
Oh, I see.
So in this sense, one could say
any conditioned reality is utter, so all included.
Yeah, so they are all the result.
We could say, in short, the five khandhas are utter.
It doesn't matter. The understanding is the most important. Otherwise, we get always thinking.
Thank you, Kanata.
When they
mention the Kriya Chittas there, because this is it just referring to the fact that after becoming an arahat, these are the chittas result that are will follow and result.
You just said it's about understanding realities. You know, there must be the understanding to know. What went through my mind, well, why do we bother with khandhas and ayatanas and dhatus? If we don't know about them, the understanding
but
can't grow.
We have to think about it. For example, atta, what's meant by atta.
Atta. Which way is that atta spelled? Is that like atta self? That atta? No.
Atta, not so atta.
What does that mean?
Result. Atta. In this context.
Yeah, it will always depend on the context. So, like in the Abhidhammatta Sangha, that's where it's appearing, but it can mean meaning or essence or truth or nibbana. It can mean many things depending on the context it's used in. When the Buddha said, Atamhi nato saranamavacha natvyanjanam, he's saying there that the meaning itself is the protection, is the path, not the word. So it's going to always depend on the context, and it can mean so many different things, but kind of related, but in different ways.
And the Pali you just gave, what is that like?
The Dhammapada, Atikata of Dhammapada, talking about. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Jonathan. I think it just let me think for a moment. I'll follow that up and I'll let you know. All right. I believe it's Kudka Nikaya, but I'll check on it for you.
Tenzanka, also the commentary said the arising of the Dhamma is Atta, and the condition for the arising is.
It doesn't matter at all, as we understand that. When we read, we understand, no doubt. See? Without conditions, Dhamma, can there be Atta?
No. Thank you. Thank you.
So read with understanding.
Sarah, would you kindly repeat the three vatas that were referred to in the verse you read earlier from the Kilesa Vata and so forth?
Yes, so it was referring to the flowers of Mara, and which are the three rounds of three vata, the three rounds, Kilesa Vata, which is the round of defilements, Karma Vata, which is the round of karma, when kalesa are strong enough, it conditions karma, and vipaka vata, the results. So whilst one is not beyond the king of death, beyond the rounds of samsara, with karma bringing its results, one's always in the sway of these three vata.
Yes, and the third links back to Krishna.
And because of the results, this is why kilesa arise again, leading to more karma. Actually, the first round, all kusala and akusala, are also included, because all kusala and akusala are in the round leading to karma, which bring results.
Sometimes what has different meanings, but the one that often many people are familiar with is samsara vatta, you know, the cycle of round and round. So it refers to what in cycles. Yeah, the but you, and going back to that word too, atta, it often refers to the most, truly the most beneficial thing, truly the most beneficial thing. And as the Ajahn would remind us, that's what appears. Truly the most beneficial thing is atta, the most beneficial.
Yes, the kilesa watta now.
Yes.
Kamma watta.
Yes.
Vipaka watta.
Yes.
And then kilesa again. Yes.
Round and round. Yes.
So all about life and now.
And when talking about those
different examples that are given under Atapatisampada on the results, and then at the end it has commentary and then the meaning of atta, meaning. Why does it mention the commentary and atta at the end?
Why?
Because it's talking about the results, Atta Patipsanda.
Why?
Just how it is. That's how it is.
Dhamma Patisanda Sampita have five Dhamma altogether, have the all the Dhamma that the Buddha enlightenment is Dhamma. So Dhamma bring and the results, the Atakata, the all the teaching, all the teaching is Dhamma. And the commentary, the all the commentary is atta.
Because of the teachings, it leads
to the commentaries, yeah, and leads
to the
result,
the
meaning
understand the,
of
the teaching.
Yeah,
yeah. Panyana, all the teaching,
yes,
of the teaching, the,
it's
all
a
the
bit
Dhamma.
Like Kiriya follows because of enlightenment, and the commentaries follow because of the teaching of Dhammas.
Thank you.
Can there be more than five? Can they be less? Why not? Somewhere it's only four. Just read with understanding different aspects, that's all.
I have a question about breath, which a friend brought up on the list, and you were discussing this, Jonathan. Gives some similes, like it talks about when the sign appears to him and how it's not the same for all, and when it does, for some it's like a light touch like cotton or silk cotton, and some it's like a star or a cluster of gems or a cluster of pearls, others like this or that, and to others like the moon's disc or the sun's disc. Why does it give the simile of the moon's disc or the sun's disc?
To anything that
just
can
anything,
happen.
Anything can appear.
As nimitta.
As nimitta. So even though the object is the breath, the tangible object, the nimitta of the tangible object, how could it appear
because
like
it's
sun's
not
disc?
The understanding of reality.
Right.
So it brings about nimitta.
Okay. It's a, yes, it's a concept of breath. It's, so it's a... the nimitta of the concept of breath. So it brings about, you say different reality, but when it's referring to how...
Not reality at all, when it's concept.
So it just brings about different imagery or ideas or something like that?
For jhana.
For jhana. So even though it's the nimitta of that tangible object, there can be the
whatever
idea. Anything.
Whatever.
Anything can happen.
Right. Well, nimitta, tangible object.
Okay, nimitta of the concept of, but can we not say it's nimitta of the concept of that reality, the concept, well, it's not the concept of, it's just the concept, that's
the
all.
The sign of.
Just the sign.
Samatha.
Yeah, just the sign.
Degree.
So not actually anything to do with the reality or the tangible object. Yeah. So it can be anything.
Ajahn, can we say that those signs, that some of those ones that Sarah was giving, whether it be the jewels or the moon or the sun, would that depend, and it would be, first of all, two questions there, it would be different for different people, or different, and that's because of the accumulations that different people
who
have.
Knows what it will be, the sign, but the most important thing is to understand the degree of calmness. Otherwise, it's only attachment, which is not calm at all. Even one experiences such nimitta, one takes it for the self.
Sundra and I were also talking a little bit more about sanya and lakana, the characteristic, and rasa and so on. And the other day I read out something from the Atasalani about the having the characteristic of noting, marking, and the function of recognizing what has been noted. But in the Visuddhimagga, it actually almost had the opposite, had almost like the characteristic of recognizing and the function of noting.
The same.
The same.
It's not pasa. It's not jetana. It's sanya.
Sanya. So whether one says it has the characteristic of recognizing and the function of noting, or the characteristic of noting, it doesn't matter, it's the same. And you mentioned the expression sampati rasa. So in something that Sundra was reading, it mentions the lakana, and then it mentions both kicca rasa as function and sampati rasa as property. What is the difference between kicca rasa and sampati rasa?
Okay, when it's heat, it brings about warmness. And when it's sampati, doesn't it burn. Yeah, that's all. Just example. Can we know all jetasika with four characteristics?
Just because you were thinking of the term and mentioned it, so we were just interested in whether it is the same or different from the kicca rasa, or just a different aspect. And
the kicca is any time, but the sampati rasa is when it's accomplished.
I see, when it actually something is done, like the burning. And then it also, in this passage that Sundra was looking at, it mentions two aspects of the manifestation of the sanya. Would you like to say any more about it?
Thank you, Ajahn. It was made it much more clearer, the difference between kicca rasa and sampatti rasa, one being the aspect of the characteristic of heat as opposed to its property, potential to burn. Also in the aspect of, because we know that we have characteristic, function, manifestation, and proximate cause. Under manifestation, or what we English translate as manifestation, is called, we have two here. We have pala, I'll go back. We have upatthana kara pachupatthana and pala pachupatthana. So one is, and they're both aspects of manifestation. So normally I understand how different chetasikas may manifest themselves, but would you talk a little bit about the difference between upatthana kara pachupatthana?
One is enough.
One
for each moment. See, and either this or that.
Oh, like, so you can have both.
Kicca rasa and sampati rasa. See, it depends.
So, okay, I'm not quite understanding it, Ajahn. So, at any moment, could it be one or either or both or both or not one or?
At this moment of our kicca rasa, what is the kicca rasa of citta now?
Function of knowing.
That is lakana.
That's low. Okay. Well, this is helpful then. So the function at the moment of lakana is knowing, and the kicca is to, I'm not sure about that.
To experience the object.
Experience the object, of course. Yeah.
And?
And how it meant, you're talking about and referring to, I'm not sure what your question is.
So we just know the kicca rasa, that's all, enough.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter if it's one or two or no.
described a little bit before, was
just that it's one rasa only at a time, so it's either the kicca or sampatti, or it's either one manifestation, so there may be two different aspects, but only one function, one manifestation at a time.
To understanding.
Any reality, any mental factor like sanya, it has a function and it has a manifestation, but just one at a time. One function, one manifestation at a time.
Add to that, Sarah, that on that one of manifestation, it's got the two components. One is called the phenomenological, the English is the phenomenological manifestation, the other one's called the pala or the fruit manifestation. How would you differentiate those? And you would put that in the same category as what you just spoke about then with regards function. Do you know what you... I realise that's quite a...
I don't know the difference between these two
aspects of manifestation.
But I suspect
I've only ever heard before of just manifestation, so I don't know. Are you familiar with these two
terms? Can we finish the Tripitaka in this life? Are we like people in the Buddha's time have discussion about? See, different. They talk about the absolute truth and the path and the development, but today people just take it like study academy.
We were discussing how sometimes, because this was
actually from an introduction by a Burmese sadhu, so sometimes one's not quite sure whether all the details are from the text itself or from the sadhu's knowledge of terms, and because they have their own Burmese commentaries and they sometimes add more details or embellishments, so one's
so
not sure.
So that which is correct and understood is the words of the Buddha and their commentary.
From the Samaditi Sutta, there's four kinds of nutriment: physical food, contact, pasa, volition, and it says mental, but volition is always mental.
The last one is
chitta. Well, I think, can you explain how contact is physical, is nutriment?
What do you mean?
Pasa.
Oh, yes, it brings everything from it. When it contacts vedana, sanya, cetana, and all other cetasikas.
Yes, that makes sense. And cetana is classed as nutriment, cetana.
Because it conditioned the vipaka.
Okay, yes. And citta.
Because it conditioned all other cetasikas. And we have to understand from what text, like some place it means the patisanti citta, more specific.
That would make people say, yes. And physical food, of course.
And sometimes not only the patisanti citta, but all vipakas, like seeing. If there's no seeing, there's no thinking, the world of thought about whatever is now seen.
So one physical and three mental nutrients. What was the point you just made about seeing?
Because that's included under citta as ahara paccaya.
Yes. Without seeing, can there be this? Yeah.
And we can say without citta, there's no life. It's
so they're all hara.
Or.
When we talk about
cetana, and we talk about its function of coordinating the other citta seekers and the citta it arises with at each moment. And we talk about the intention. Intention and coordinating seem quite different. So at each moment of when Chaitanya arises, at a moment of seeing, at a moment of hearing, at a moment of thinking, it has the function of coordinating, which is easy to follow. But the intention, why does intention have that function? Because the intention and coordinating, such different words.
Okay.
Like seeing sees, but intention coordinates.
That is lopa. Without intention to have such and such, can it bring more?
Without
more moments in life.
Okay, without intention, kind of rallying the troops or rounding
can
up,
be
then cannot.
Reading Tipitaka? Commentary?
So without that
intention to experience with lobha and conditioning the other citta seekers, such as lobha, by coordinating with them.
That's why we learn to understand different cittas, because cetana which arises with vipaka is different from the one which arises with lobha or dosa or kusala.
But even at the moment of vipaka,
can one say it is there? There is the intention to.
But just coordinate. That's all.
Yes, because it doesn't seem
because there's no lobha, dosa,
no,
and other citta
no,
seekers.
So it's not intending to cling or anything. So translating Chaitanya's intention at that moment of seeing or hearing, is it still intention?
Coordination, we have to understand.
It's really just coordinating. Because when we talk about intention at the moment of seeing or hearing, it seems
lobha,
a little
dosa,
okay, so really it's only intention at those moments. So at the moment of seeing or hearing, we can say really it's just coordinating.
Yeah, so we have to use many terms just for one word. Also just one word for every meaning.
And directs associated dharmas,
this is also really just at moments of lobha or dosa, because, or directs at moments of seeing, coordinates the same.
Chetasikas at that very moment to perform the function,
so it's the same.
But it's not difficult to appreciate why it's referred to as intention, and the Pali term jetana presumably has some connection with intention rather than coordinating, because it is kama. When wholesome or unwholesome deeds are performed, it is the mental factor that constitutes the good or bad karma.
Because it's also
used at moments of vipaka or kriya citta, so the point is also at moments of seeing or hearing, when we talk about intention and how it coordinates at those moments, whenever I explain about it to people, I always kind of slightly trip up about intention at each moment, because moments of seeing and hearing, it doesn't really seem to be the right word for Chaitanya at those moments. Coordinates, okay, easy to understand, but it's not, because it's not intending wholesome or unwholesome at that moment, it's just result.
But it can be known at moment of kusala and at kusala. That's why
exactly.
We use the term intention.
Intention, yes, even though actually at those moments of seeing and hearing,
it's not included, because the function of jetana is not seen.
No.
But
the
intention to do this and that.
No intention.
Kusala and akusala,
no.
It can be understood.
It's only coordinating.
Sarah, there's just an idea that may be helpful. I'll show it to you later too. Under chetana here, chetana is derived from cheteti, to cause to think, the causative of chintenti, from the verb chitta, from the verb chitta. Cheto and chetasika are derived from the same root, the former meaning mind, the latter mental property. Chaitanya means the causal principle of thought and will in Buddhism. Is the chief element of causation in karma. So on goes on, but I think sometimes willing is quite a good translation of Chaitanya.
But again, that's really referring to at moments of kusala and akusala, when it wills or intends the other chaitasikas in a kusala or akusala way. And
of course, yeah. And when the Buddha utters that phrase, he's usually talking about what you're talking about there in the jhāvana process. He's not talking about the sahajata paccaya, as you're referring to, or what Kim is referring to there. Oh, I agree. I know what you're saying. Something we haven't so much talked about in the past, but it's always, now, because as Ajahn said, we're talking about many different aspects, or different aspects of Chaitanya. So, we're talking about vipaka, and we're talking about the moment of jhāvana, and, Chaitanya, as we know, has different functions at that time.
One could actually also say the same about citta, which, as you say, is derived from the same word, and thinking and imagining and accumulating, but actually this is kusala and akusala moments, because at a moment of seeing it's citta, but it's not thinking and imagining, so similar point could be made.
Ajahn just mentioned in the Buddha's time the kinds of questions were quite different, not so much lost in words, but about developing the path.
Because you see that the most important thing is understanding the characteristic of our reality right now. We talk a lot in order to understand, but Chaitanya cannot be object of understanding. But we can see that it's quite impossible. So from the very beginning, there must be or should be, or actually it has to be, the understanding of the difference between that which experience and that which cannot experience.
Yeah. It's so difficult to really
that
understand
so
that.
Difficult, you know, but it's much more difficult to understand all we are talking about.
Yes. But we can understand in theory what experience and what doesn't experience. But to really understand is very hard.
That's why we learn about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to learn more. Maybe it's Loba.
But it is the present moment.
Yeah.
What experiences and what that's cannot not, experience.
Yes, yeah.
So that's the present moment.
That is the present
point.
Moment.
Yes.
So can we talk more on that?
Loba just want to have it.
Yes,
Loba,
yes.
It's really
lots
tricky.
Of Loba.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It experiences. Loba experiences.
Loba just want.
Yeah.
Like now, Eve, so moments of seeing or hearing, just realities which experience an object, not I see or I hear or anyone sees. Mental factors like Chaitanya or Vedana, which arise with those moments of seeing or hearing, experience an object, not I will or intend or I feel, just different realities that arise for an instant and experience the object. So cittas and chaitasikas experience an object, whereas rupas are those realities which don't experience anything. So I sense doesn't experience anything. It doesn't see, it doesn't know, it has no interest in what is seeing. Visible object, that which is seen, another rupa, it has no interest in who or what or how is any seeing is occurred. It's just that which is seen for an instant and falls away. And we know rupas last longer than jitas, and that's why in an eye door process or any sense door process, many different jitas arise and experience that rupa, that visible object. So it's not one moment of seeing which sees visible object and then a moment of hearing which hears sound. So actually many jitas arise to experience the visible object, but only seeing sees it. And then after those jitas have experienced that rupa, that visible object, then there are some other jitas which arise which are not in any process, and then mind door processes, more jitas which arise in mind door processes. So it's not like one moment of seeing and then one moment of hearing. So, but the main point is to clearly understand that the distinction between namas, those realities which can experience an object, and rupas, those realities which don't experience anything. Because without this understanding very, very firmly, there cannot be any understanding of realities as anatta. There will always be an idea of I see or something seen, I hear, something heard. So this is why from the beginning there has to be that clear understanding of what experience is and what is experienced.
Yes. So
I sees, I base sees. It doesn't have anything else.
It doesn't see.
Because it's rupa. Cheetah.
Yeah, rupa, right, it can't.
The eye, we can say just the eye.
Right, the eye. And seeing sees, it's citta. And the Javana series run through that, how can I say, in colloquial terms, digesting.
let's put it this way, that seeing arises for a moment and sees the visible object. But the visible object doesn't fall away immediately. After seeing, there have to be another couple of vipaka cittas. Vipaka cittas are the result of karma, like seeing. And then one more citta. And then after that, there are usually seven kusala or akusala cittas which arise, which can experience that visible object. Mm,
yes.
So even in that idle process, there can be akusala cittas with ignorance or attachment arising instantly, experiencing that visible object.
Yes.
So they run through, but in an unwholesome way, or kusala cittas can arise for the wise.
So when we talked about those three
watas, so the result, vipaka, seeing is vipaka vata result, and the two cittas which follow it are all vipaka vata. And then the kusala or akusala, the akusala which arises in that idle process, this is kilesa vata, and then in subsequent mind or process, and when it's strong enough, it is kama vata, which can bring results.
And we talk so much about seeing and hearing. And really we have to learn that it is not the self who is seeing, but it is so much accumulated from life to life that I am seeing this ignorance. We have so much ignorance. So that's why we discuss so much what is seeing and what is hearing.
Yes.
No end to our discussions.
Yes.
It's really difficult to understand. We know in theory, but, you know, there's still that feeling of I.
Yes.
Slowly chipping away and dissolving at this formidable concept of I. It's a point of reference that turns out to be this insatiable tyrant. But, thank you. At least someone has a sense of humor. But it's... I see. It cannot possibly be that way, because if this I rupa citta through the ayarupa cognizes this object, visible object. I cannot say just I see. I would point to perhaps Nina, gesture to her, and do you see that? And can you see that? She sees that. So there's no I, no ownership, no nothing.
I think there's a danger in getting caught up too much in the words. There is seeing. We see. Well, sorry. There is seeing. There is hearing. And I think. There's something you said in the taxi coming over was you mentioned something about your busy life, you know, organising passports and business, and then it seemed to me you were indicating there's not enough, you don't have space for being aware, and that's when I said to you, but that's just self-thinking. So I think to start, it's just seeing, it's just hearing. We don't have to get too bogged down. It's good to know the details, but just those moments of seeing, it rises and falls away. And the other thing to know is that they happen extremely quickly. There's no catching them and saying, oh, that's seeing. That doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously for the Buddha it did, because the Buddha was able to teach about these moments of seeing and hearing and feeling. And
does it run?
Does it run?
Run?
Does it run through the
object? Because Akusala? Does it run? Does it run?
Well, no. Does it run? I don't think it runs.
The reason that he used
this expression is because often jhāvana is translated as running through the object. One can just say that several kusala or akusala cittas arise and experience the object. But that's what is meant through run through, but it can be misunderstood.
Yeah, running.
It seems like the other cittas do not run at all.
And some seem to repeat over and over and over. Mm-hmm. But it happens. Well, I had a double meaning. A certain, for example, a person, anger arises over a condition, and that can arise over and over. It's not one fused whole continuum. But the other double meaning is the wheel. This kilesa, kama, vipaka goes over and over. So awareness, I cannot make it happen. It arises and then falls away. And I need not get dismayed about being asleep or unaware. Is that if things accumulate and condition.
If there's any idea that being
busy or stuck in traffic or any other time or occurrence is some hindrance to understanding, then it shows that the reality is not understood, because the firmer understanding is, the less idea there is of any situation as being a hindrance in any way, because there can be awareness any time, like the example Nina liked about when crying or getting upset, or it's opportunity for awareness even at those times.
Yes. So it's not a matter of awareness.
It's not a matter of having to stop and focus on an object or anything like that. It has to be very, very natural.
Yes, but the aversion may be so strong, and that is used chattatiya, but it's still difficult to overwhelm, you know. Yeah.
What
is
overwhelmed?
By sadness. Possible.
No, awareness can also know that characteristic.
It can.
Yes.
But will it?
But don't we have the idea that if I'm overwhelmed by sadness, there's no chance of awareness?
No,
so if we, We tend to have that idea, but that's itself an obstacle to there being awareness of...
Every moment is obstacle.
Yes.
See? Right. We do not cry now.
Right, yeah. But still no awareness, yeah.
What about when we're so happy and enjoying life? The reason we would like to have more awareness when we're crying is because we don't like to feel unhappy or to cry, and then it seems that the awareness isn't making the sadness go away, but that's just more clinging to the self because one doesn't like it and one's thinking, poor me, there's no awareness. But when one's happy, one's not bothered about it. So actually, any time, any reality.
And how can there be the understanding of the right awareness that is there?
Standing aright.
Yes. Only when there is right awareness can there be understanding of right awareness, as you explained. Not when we are talking now, in general.
Only when it arises.
Yes.
And some people take any moment for awareness, see? But how can they know it's awareness or not?
Only when there's really understanding of
its characteristic or the nature of awareness. Otherwise, all sorts of other things will be taken for awareness. So.
And what is the characteristic of awareness that can be known?
Only reality at the time.
Yes, but you see that how can it be known as its awareness?
Panya will know.
Oh yes, for sure. But as what?
As
awareness.
Only a reality.
Yes. Unexpectedly arises.
Well, we don't expect.
No. Otherwise, it cannot be right awareness at all.
Yeah. No expectation, as you often emphasize.
It's there, and Panya knows, and it's gone.
Yeah.
And whether it arises again or not, it doesn't matter at all. Otherwise, Lopa comes in very quickly.
My experience, the in very intense moments, understanding can arise. Ah, this, or Panya knows. Ah, this is ignorance. Loka.
No time.
Oh, this is craving.
No time.
You know,
to think like that.
Oh,
it's gone.
Yeah, that's right. It's gone already. And then in the aftermath, the thinking.
So, at moment of right awareness, no thinking about it. But it's there, and Panya is there, so Panya knows that moment. And it has to be very natural, because it's conditioned, both the object and the awareness itself. Only this is the path leading to more and more understanding of reality as not self, little by little.
Can you explain a little more about what you mean by being very natural?
Like now. Whatever appears can be object of awareness by conditions, unexpectedly, with understanding. Because right awareness cannot be right awareness without understanding.
So said, no choosing of time, no choosing of object. So, can we say out of the blue?
That's why it's natural. Pardon?
Can we say out of the blue?
Conditions must be the blue.
Not trying to have it, wishing to have it, thinking at all about the circumstance or whatever happens anytime.
That's why it takes years and years to develop. For sati and panya to develop from moment to moment.
However, there is a lot of thinking and
pondering on what we hear.
And Panda knows the difference between seeing and thinking. Different realities.
Well, it doesn't know it as this is seeing or this is thinking, but there is thinking about knowing the difference.
Only when seeing arises, only when thinking arises.
Pondering can be a condition for the arising of awareness, but it doesn't mean that the awareness will arise at the time of the pondering or will take an object that's being pondered about.
So now there are the accumulation of conditions for right awareness to arise because of understanding reality as it is. It's not try to have it, try to understanding it.
And even when pondering over the meaning of the word or any other time, it just dammers any time at all. So when it overwhelmed with dosa or trying to work out a meaning or not understanding, awareness can arise any time at all.
Then these moments eliminate desire or attached to have awareness, to understand that it's impossible to expect.
Or in other words, it cannot be controlled.
The more understanding of realities as uncontrollable.
And understanding that those realities,
such as the dosa or the crying at that time, or the thinking in this way or that way, or whatever it is, it can't be any other way at that moment. It has to be exactly like that because it's conditioned. But awareness can slip in and be aware any time if there is enough understanding.
And it means that the more understanding is there at moment of reading or hearing, there should be the understanding of the danger of samsara vata. Otherwise, it's I enjoy understanding.
Samsara.
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 What the?
It's I who enjoys understanding. For example, there may be a little understanding
and there can be a lot of attachment to that understanding or wishing to have more understanding because one's not appreciating the danger of life in samsara, the danger of the three vatas, on and on and on. So even that understanding is dukkha, even that understanding is part of the cycle of vata, not to be attached to at all. Also unsatisfactory, like all other conditioned dharmas.
A moment of appreciation without Dhamma or a chance for Panya, understanding to develop. Life could be asleep in the wilderness, as you put it so nicely, or in a desert after crossing. Dhamma can be likened to after crossing a long desert having a draft of cold water. So in that way, even the most distressing or intense moments, there is an opportunity for understanding, panya, awareness to develop. And it's not all the time, so there are moments of awareness and many moments of asleep, but it's not distressing, for I am here with my Dhamma friends. and this conditions understanding, and this can accumulate.
Different moments.
So even now, there can be moments of understanding, moments of attachment, moments of unhappiness, moments of feeling hungry, moments of thinking about the birds, so many different realities. So actually it's the refuge only at moments of understanding, no matter here or there or anywhere, with whatever friends one's with.
It's still dukkha, but not distressing, as you say.
Yes, I was considering when reading or discussing, and there is not enough understanding of the danger of samsara. Otherwise it is I did not quite get that point, I feel.
Why is understanding
being developed? Why is understanding being developed? Why are we interested in the development of understanding?
Because we want to know the truth.
And what is the truth we are going to know?
The truth the Buddha taught.
Yes.
About non-self.
And
only realities.
And dukkha.
That is what we want to know.
And dukkha. All realities are dukkha.
All realities are dukkha. We don't get that quite.
But that's
dukkha.
Part one
dukkha
of the truths. One of the truths we
the
come
Buddha
to
taught,
know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the impermanence.
Right. So if all realities are dukkha,
yeah,
there's no future in realities. No reason to want to keep experiencing realities, to be in the world of realities either.
Yeah.
Because
but
it's
there
dukkha.
Is so much thinking.
Yeah, but that's part of the truth that we yeah. come to understand intellectually at first.
Yes.
And the cessation of dukkha takes place only at parinibbana, not
yes.
before. Because for the arahat, realities are still dukkha.
Yes.
So parinibbana and escape from samsara, the end of samsara, are the same thing.
But so much thinking and really not understanding. It's so much theory for me.
Well, it's theory for all of us, but
yeah.
at an intellectual level, because you asked about the connection between...
Yeah. Seeing the danger of
yeah,
something.
Yeah, seeing the danger.
Yeah, I find it a difficult point.
That's right. No matter we are talking about what it should be, ended with the seeing the danger of... whatever appears in life, yeah? Otherwise, one is so pleased with studying.
Studying.
Understanding,
one's
yeah.
good friends.
Yes. I find it really difficult to get this point.
Because it's not trying to have it, but by understanding, from understanding, on and on and on and on, we can see the point of studying, what for. Just to see the danger yeah. of life.
Just to see the danger, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or I could say that to eradicate ignorance, that formidable root.
But no one there, see?
Yes,
and
no one there.
Ignorance cannot be eradicated all at once.
No.
It has to be with wrong understanding, should be eradicated.
Panya eradicates mm-hmm. ignorance. Yes. Not all at once.
No.
Can we say that danger of life and unsatisfactoriness of life are one and the same thing, really?
What about life and don't think about unsatisfactoriness? Because life is
danger.
That.
Yeah, I'm thinking
yeah.
about the word
life
danger.
Life is that which arises in false way. That's the meaning of unsatisfactoriness.
And seeing arises and
instantly there's clinging, or understanding arises, instantly there's clinging, on and on and on, so the rounds continue on. So that is also the danger of whatever's conditioned, because instantly there's clinging.
And the middle path is not attachment and not aversion. Whatever arises or appears can be object of understanding. by conditions.
And the point was,
if one doesn't appreciate this, if one doesn't appreciate the danger of conditioned realities and how there is clinging immediately, like if there's a little understanding and there's clinging straight away, I would like to have more, then attachment just continues accumulating as usual. So instead of being attachment to visible object or sound, then it's attachment to understanding or attachment to I having more awareness.
And the actual moment of seeing the danger of life must be vipassanayana, high degree, payatupatthanayana. From experiencing directly the nature of reality as not self, not enough, not enough.
If there's not the understanding of realities as conditioned, or if there's not the understanding of realities as arising and falling away, then cannot be that direct understanding.
So one can see the danger of akusala dhammas in daily life because of panya, which knows what moment is not self, dhamma, nama and rupa, and so on, little by little.
And in the suttas we read about the Buddha talking about the person who's developing understanding seeing danger in the slightest fault. And that is talking about understanding, isn't it? Rather than not having any akusala, it's talking about understanding
hearing,
the dangers.
Considering, yes. And so on, little by little, gradually. That's why the first thing is to understand the difference between moment with awareness and moment without awareness. If it hasn't risen yet, it's impossible to know.
What about awareness
that's so weak as not to be
But still,
perceptible?
Panya is there to know that it's there, but very weak.
Right.
Yeah. So Panya knows different stages of understanding.
Panya knowing when there's awareness and when there's not awareness, but isn't that a fairly high degree of panya? Because
it has to be.
Or am I thinking of the vipassana? Because there has to be the knowing of nama from rupa before there's knowing.
For example, there is touching, very common, natural, all the time. What about the understanding? See, there is seeing all the time. What's about the understanding?
Well, I mean, touching, it's generally it's hardness, it's a
so
pain,
when,
seeing.
It's when right awareness is there, it's different. The object is exactly the same as usual, but right understanding knows right awareness is there because it is aware. So the object appears well. So appears well doesn't mean that it's so clear, but it's because of understanding.